The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 26th day of July 20. Boy, what is what is going by fast. Wow. Summer is going by fast on this in 2026. And indeed, this is the voice, the legendary voice of the Christian resistance for 51 years. And now, tonight's message is one that is it's a very serious sin, not taking seriously. And that's kind of the title of the message. And that sin is gluttony. Now, when we think of gluttoniness, we kind of get a picture of a person who often, well, if you look at gluttony through the movies and a lot of, you know, the way it's expressed in the Bible, you kind of get a picture of some great big old ugly drunken man with a turkey leg in his mouth. And in fact, that's the way it was with some of the wealthy in the old times, the kings and that, especially in the Roman Empire, where gluttony was excessive, and during the tables of the times, and at Jezebel's tables. But here, you know, the reality is, I know some, I mean, very, very skinny people that are gluttonous. I knew a fellow who, he died young, but he would, when we would have a picnic or a barbecue or a cookout, this skinny little fellow would sometimes cook himself. You know, everybody would have maybe get a steak. With those that would have a steak, he'd have two or three of them, and he would eat and eat and eat. And I know a woman who is as thin as can be, and she can out eat most men I know. I mean, unbelievable. You know, when you wonder where are they putting all that food. But so that's kind of a stereo picture we get in our mind of people. But when we think of this sin of gluttony, actually it breaks down, and the Bible speaks of it in basically five different categories, if you will. There's words in the Latin, quia pro peri, simply means those that eat hastily, eating very, very fast, drinking very, very fast, you know, especially, you know, when it's done in public. And I know several people that way. We'll go out to dinner, and I won't have half my meal eaten, not even close, and they'll be sitting there with an empty plate. I mean, just inhale the food. And that's a form of gluttony. Another word is latte that they use in Latin. It means sumptuously. And that's seeking foods that are exotic, foods that are rare, foods that cost a lot. I remember, again, one time I was in New Orleans, and we were at a dinner, and there was a fellow there that really he kind of prided himself, or I don't know, one of his things that he loved to do is to eat at very expensive restaurants, and he liked to spend a lot of money. And I remember this because this was a very, very expensive French restaurant in New Orleans. And back in those days, I mean, it was like $150 a plate. It was way, and today, you know, that would be probably, $500 a plate, you know, according to inflation. I'm just taking a guess, but they would have seven different portions of food that would come out that they would serve you. Seven courses, and they would serve you on fancy dishes, one little course, and then when everyone was finished. In other words, when you went in to eat, it wasn't, you know, just sitting down to dinner. You were going to make an evening out of eating this, and this is, again, what the Bible teaches, talks about those that eat sumptuously, where Scripture says all things in moderation. And then you have what is called a nemus in the Latin, which means excessively, eating or drinking way, way too much, way more than you need, way more than actually your body can process. And often, going back into what we were talking about in the early days, and it still happens today in some places, people would literally eat until they regurgitate, throw up, and then go back and eat more. And again, this is a sin. This is excessively. Then you had what is called ardentur on the Latin, means greedily, being eager to eat or drink, obsessing over the physical pleasures of the food, being, and often that includes, you notice, being rude to the servants, the waiters. And last but not least, you have studious in the Latin, which means daintily, being overly picky, requiring meals to be elaborately prepared or excessively adorned. Now, we're going to tonight address all five of these categories of Scripture as we go through here. And we're going to start tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 through 33. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You do all to the glory of God. Give none offense neither to the Jew nor to the Gentiles nor to the churches of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Well, here, what is he referring to? The apostle there is referring to whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And this last week, I was preaching on why does God allow evil? And the answer is all through the Bible. In fact, it's right here. And that is that all that we do, we to do glory to the God. So why did God allow evil? God allowed evil to his own glory, for his own glory. Now, in this case, what is he talking about? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do to the glory of God. Well, first of all, remember here, give none offense neither to the Jew nor the Gentile. Well, first of all, for the Christians, to the church, you would not want to eat anything that you think is sacrificed to idols, even though you know that those idols, you know, are simply existing in the minds of people, that they're not gods, but it would not give a good appearance to do that. Also, you would want to be very careful, especially not to offer to invite Jewish people there and serve them pork roast. I mean, that would be very offensive to them, okay, to the church. And so, or the very same thing when it says whether you eat or drink, especially for the church, you will not want to be excessive when it comes to drinking wine. And so these are certain things that you definitely would not want to do as it says, that would not be done for the glory of God. That would be offensive. Neither give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor the Gentile, nor the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many that I've saved. So here, to do that would be a form of gluttony. It would be a form of gluttony. Now, here, as we go, I'd like to go over to Proverbs chapter 23. And in Proverbs chapter 23, as we take a look at sumptuously, if you will. But here too, when we talk about starting with verse 1, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, now listen, he's saying, when thou sittest to eat with a ruler, he's not saying necessarily a king, he's just saying someone in authority, someone that's in authority. Consider diligently what is before thee. Think about what he is setting before you, okay? And put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. I remember here, some years ago, Idi Amin, everybody would talk about, you never want to be a dinner guest of Idi Amin. He would invite dignitaries to his house and eat them. And he was a cannibal. And so when he says, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. In other words, be very careful what it is you eat. I mean, it's not unusual today in China, you could literally go into some of these hospitals where they aborted all these babies and get a bunch of babies in some places. We sent a newsletter out some years ago. We showed you from our missionaries. We had missionaries in China that literally took the pictures of these guys sitting there, and they had a bowl, you know, of baby soup. Well, these were little bitty human beings who cooked, and they were eating it, these wealthy Chinese. And, of course, here today, the Satanists in America will do the very same thing. And I have no doubts in my mind. If the Democrats think they could get away with it, they would be doing that, okay? They're all in favor of depopulating the planet. And as one of their heroes, one of the Democratic Party, Jacques Cousteau, said that the answer to the world's hunger is very, very simple. You see it done in the wild. The fittest survive. The strong eat the weak. And what Jacques Cousteau said, the people are a great source of protein. In other words, to cut down on the world's problem, hunger problems, you know, the strong should eat the weak. I mean, that's crazy, folks, but, you know, that's what many of those satanic, those on the left believe. He says, be not desirous of the dainties, for they are deceitful meat. They are deceitful meat. labor not to be rich, cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings, they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, either desire thou his dainty meat. So he's saying here, you know, the eye is the window of the soul. A greedy person, a lustful person, or a person with evil thoughts can often be discerned as such by the look in his eyes out there today, folks. And here he goes on to say, so be careful, I mean, not to eat everything that's set before you. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The morsel which thou hast eaten shalt thou vomit up and lose thy sweet words. Speak not in the ears of the fool, for he will despise wisdom and words. Remove not the old landmark. Enter not into the fields of the fatherless. He was talking about these changes. And originally, in Deuteronomy 19, verse 14, you see, Lord set the boundaries. He set the boundaries, the landmarks for the nation of Israel, and told them to keep them in place. And, of course, today that doesn't happen. So that would be a part of what is going on, in addition to warning you about here eating the dainties of the and the deceitful meat. And so again, that is falls under laute, or the sumptuously, where it comes the form of gluttony. And then I want to go to 20 and 21. Be not among the wine bibblers, among riotous eaters of flesh, for the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. And so here, he's making a point. Wine bibblers, it's a clear warning against drinking wine or intoxicating alcohol. And so, and because, again, excess, that's a form of gluttony. It's a form of gluttony. And then I wanted to, wet my whistle. And only today, this is only the third time today that I'm preaching this. And so, I have got me some black raspberry ice. And that's what I'm drinking tonight. And so if we go over to, as we see, nimis, or means excessively, as we take a look at gluttony, to Philippians, and Philippians in chapter 3. Well, let me just go to Proverbs, since I just came across Proverbs first. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 16, where it says, hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therefore, and you vomit it up. In other words, it was a common practice of those Roman, in the days of Roman, in those orgies, where they would, especially where it come to things, the sweets and that, they would actually eat and gorge themselves. They would gorge themselves, even though there were many, many, many poor people around who were starving for food, could use some food, and you would have these people in a very greedy, very, very greedy way. They would gorge themselves, actually throw up, and then come back and eat more. And this was common dung amongst the pagan orgies that they had in that day. And then I want to go over to Philippians chapter 3. And in Philippians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, we read, brethren, the followers together of me, be you followers together of me. Now, the Apostle Paul is not here trying to sound like he's exalting himself, okay, because, you know, Paul himself said he was the least of the apostles. But he's warning them about false teachers here. Mark them which walk so as you have for us for an example. In other words, what we were doing, you hear that barking. I have my little dog in the studio with me tonight. He wanted to be with me, and so I have him in the studio, and he's looking out the window, and every now and then he'll see something that gets his interest. Anyhow, for many walk of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. So what are we talking about? Well, you're talking about these are people, one, they never give thanks. They never ask a blessing over the food that they eat. And so their food is not sanctified by prayer at all. And it's an interesting thing. I've seen times where I've been in a restaurant, and I'll see a family in that restaurant. And you'll see usually the father will ask a blessing. And there will be, and I've looked and I've seen like some of his children act like they're embarrassed because people are looking at them because their father is praying. And I know myself, folks, many times when I have, we've been in a place, a large gathering, and they'll go to eat, and if no one asks me, often I'll say, you know, we're not going to, you know, all these people are not going to eat this without asking a blessing for the Lord. So I'll raise my voice as loud as I have to raise it to get everybody's attention. And I'll say, we're going to ask a blessing over the food here tonight. We're going to ask a blessing. And there will be some people in there that seem offended by that. And, of course, there will be others, professing Christians, that will say, well, now, Pastor, you shouldn't don't want to offend them. Well, folks, let me tell you, the Bible says, Jesus said, those that are ashamed of him before man, so shall he be ashamed of before the Father. And so all good things come from God. And so when I'm there, unless I come into a place and people have already started eating, they're already eating in the midst of the food, and often I'll just pray over my own food, okay, in that situation. But you should always ask a blessing, always, always ask a blessing. And in this case, what he's talking about here, this food is not sanctified by prayer. And then I want to take a look at the ardor, or what they call greedily or rudely, greedily and rudely. And here, and disobedient to the Lord, if we start over in 1 Samuel chapter 2, and in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 12 through 33, we read, and they sinned yet more. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong passage I have there. 1 Samuel, let me go, 1 Samuel 2, 12 through 17, yes. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when the man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was seething with the flesh hooks of three teeth in his hand. Well, in other words, he would come, the priest would come, and the man would offer, he would offer up this, he would send a flesh hook into it, and it had three hooks on it, and this would be the portion that the priest would receive to eat. And he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, and all the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. And before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have the sodden flesh of thee, but raw. In other words, that means boiled, the boiled flesh. The sons of Eli were not abiding by the law. These guys were rebel, if you will, priests. They were like sons of Belial, if it says. And if any man say unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, that he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for he abhorred the offering of the Lord. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, and girded with a linen. Now, here, again, the priests at the tabernacle were entitled to receive the breast and the right thigh of an animal being sacrificed, but only after the fat had been burned off it. Eli's, sons, they totally ignored both requirements. They said, we're going to take what we want. In other words, instead of having the sodden meat or the boiled meat, they said, we're going to have a barbecue out here, like it or not. We want to do it our way. And then I want to go over to Psalm 78. And in Psalm 78, starting with verse 17 through 33, here, and again, that was a form of greedily and rudely and disobedient form of gluttony. And you have the very same thing in Psalm 78 here. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their hearts by asking meat for their lust. Now, the Israelites, who were stiff-necked and a very, very rebellious people, and whose, faith changed very quickly. When God took them out of, they were not thankful. They were not obedient. They were very disobedient and unthankful. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lusts. Yes, they spoke against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Folks, again, they're a very stiff-necked people. And here it seems like a whole lot of people nowadays are that way. All of those, the Bible says, all of those that forget their God, and I'm afraid America has forgotten their God in a large, large way today, folks.
For 50 years, the NRA Institute for Legislative Action has served as the voice for NRA members and gun owners in
there?
Every significant political, legislative, and legal fight defending our right to keep and bear arms.
Okay, that's not supposed to be there. What happened there? Anyhow, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish the table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out, and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? They're questioning God. It's, God tells you what he can and what he will do, okay? And what God can do, whatever he wants to do. Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also come up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and rained down meats or manna upon them to eat and gave of them the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food, and he set them meat to be full. Now, angels are spiritual beings, so whether or not they eat, they can take the form of humans, and they can eat. But this was more like an expression. Man did eat angels' food. Actually, the word there said it. Satiation, or satiation is what I meant to say. And he caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, the feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, around about their habitations and dwelling. So they did eat, and were filled, for he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their thirst, for while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them, and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this, they sinned still, and believed not for this wonderful horse. Now, that word, the fattest, there is the same words that we use for the stoutest, you might say, stoutest, you know, of people. Therefore, their days did he consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. So again, this is where in disobedience they came, and it's a form of greedily. It's a form of gluttony in a very, very greedily way. And then you have what was called a studious in the Latin, which means dainty. In other words, where the tables are elaborate, very elaborate tables have been set, where people to go on, where eating has become more than just, you know, you eat to live. It's become more of their people live to eat in such a way. And again, I remember here going to that restaurant, and there's a number of people like that people have this thing about telling you, you know, where they ate and describing certain specific restaurants, and here where they literally will go through all kinds of, you know, very, very elaborate and table settings and things where things of the world that the Bible says is being worldly, that you really don't want to do. And here now, he starts out, and also, by the way, in that, in these ways, often will, yeah, God is ignored, and you'll have people will be very, very offended by offering and serving people foods that their conscience don't allow them to eat. And a very good example of that we're going to find here in Daniel chapter 1, starting with verse 8 through 16. Now here, you remember the Jews had dietary laws. And they, these Jews that were very faithful. They kept their faith. Now, we're going to be talking about, of course, Daniel here, but the three guys, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, we know them by different names. And so here, as we go, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank, before he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Okay, there was certain types of wine that they would not drink, wine that was made with leaven in it. And here, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was with Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were young men, and they held to the very same beliefs. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor with and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for they should see your faces worse, liking than the children which are of your sort. Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. In other words, what he's telling Daniel here is that, look, okay, I'm setting this table. I'm setting the king's table before you, and I know you seem to be offended. You don't want to eat pork, that's for sure. There's things, and the way it's prepared, and also the wine, you're offended by the wine, and you don't want to drink this wine. But there are others, those like you, others that are not such faithful Jews, that came under the captivity, and they'll be glad to eat whatever the king gives them, and drink whatever the king gives them, and they'll be their faith is not strong, so they'll be more than happy to be able to be invited to the king's table, because the king, Nebuchadnezzar, took a lot of pride in having a very elaborate table. Those are one of the things that kings were known about in those days, and what took place and what they said. And like Jezebel was known for the tables she set. Of course, her tables that were set were apostate with priests, priests of Baal, and they committed every kind of whoredom and every kind of gluttony and orgies at Jezebel's table. And so here Nebuchadnezzar took a lot of pride in the table he set. And so now here the prince of his eunuchs was he was very, very concerned that if Nebuchadnezzar was to take a look at the three Israel boys here and they didn't look healthy, that it might cost him his head. And so here he goes on to say, then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Now, pulse is simply vegetables. Let them eat what we want. They didn't want the meat that was prepared at the king's table. Just let us have the vegetables that we're asking for. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and thou seest, and deal with thy servants. So you say, look, give us 10 days. Give us 10 days. Let us eat off our own menu. what we're asking you for. We're not asking for, you know, anything elaborate. We're asking the simplest things here. And then after 10 days, compare us. Take a look at the way we look compared to those that eat at the king's table. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in the flesh than the children which did eat the portions of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse, meaning again, vegetables here. And so today, and we've had this situation, I know today, where it comes to eating, you have those out there, you have the pork police, and we've had the pork police. I've had them coming to our church and bringing tracts and talking about, you know, trying to force us to be under the Jewish dietary laws. But we're not under those Jewish. We're under the spirit, not the letters of the law. We're not under the dietary laws. And the Bible doesn't stutter when it talks about that. When it talks about doctrines of men versus God's doctrine. In fact, I want to take you over to 1 Timothy. And in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the later times, here, the church age, which we're living in the sixth dispensation period, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now this is, you know, the Apostle Paul is being very serious. He's talking about doctrines of devils, okay? That these doctrines that they came up with were not given to by saved men, by good Christian men. And he says that speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, these are false teachers, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving to them which believe and know not the truth. Well, here, you know, there, when he's talking about forbidding to marry, you know, he's talking about, you know, false asceticism is promoted as more of a spiritual than normal form of those that claim to be Christians, and then they tell you that in order to be a good Christian, pastors or bishops should abstain from marriage. But let me take you back here to the previous chapter, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, means a pastor, okay, he desireth a good work. First of all, he's saying here, if a man, specifically, pastors, ordained ministers, pastors are to be men, a bishop that must be blameless, the husband of one wife. Well, folks, to be the husband of a wife, you have to be a man in reality. See, out there, the apostate church, United Church of Christ, many of the United Methodists out there today, they've apostatized the Episcopalian out there. They have women pastors, and a lot of these women pastors are married to other women. They're lesbians. They've totally apostatized. They've totally gone away from the teaching of the Word of God, okay? But, so you must be a man. You must be the husband of one wife. Now, that doesn't say you absolutely have to be that. There are some pastors that are single. They haven't found a wife, but he's telling you here, a bishop that must be blameless, be the husband of one wife. And the reason for that is one of the major jobs as a pastor is for over half a century. A large part of my profession is to have to do marriage counseling, family counseling. And folks, I can tell you that my marriage of 57 years has helped me a lot when it comes to understanding marriage life. And it's so much better than those that have never been married, never had children, never raised a family. They simply don't have the experience and knowledge that comes along with being a father and a husband. Not given to white wine, no striker, not greedy or filthy lucre, but patient, and not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth his own house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Okay? For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest he being lifted up with pride be fall in the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach in the snare of the devil. So, you know, that right after that, here we go into this where it talks about those forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Well, one of the things that we often will do, a number of restaurants on Friday night have fish fries. You'll notice that it seems like always when they have the big fish fries, all you can eat, it's always on a Friday. Well, that comes actually was one of the starts of the practices of the Roman Catholic Church, that you don't eat certain meats. You only meat on Friday. You abstain, you eat fish on Friday. And that's been one of their practices over the years, and this is why so many restaurants have, you know, fish on Friday. And there's nothing wrong with going to a fish fry, folks, although you're better off if you get it where it's broiled instead of fried. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Let me read that again. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Again, folks, that's very, very important there. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That means consecrated. And here, today, many, many people don't ever even ask a blessing, you know, before they eat anymore. And, folks, you know, here, you know, when it comes to that, there's been times, see, also, one of the things that I've noticed about certain people, in my whole life, I think I've maybe sent meals back maybe three times that I can remember, where something wasn't cooked right, wasn't prepared right. And so I said, you know, send it back. I know some people, some that are very close to me, that they have a mindset, look, I'm paying for this, and since I'm paying for it, I want it to be exactly the way I want it. And I'm not saying that that's all wrong, but and people will say to me, Why do you, if it's not just the way you want it, why will you see it? You know, why don't you send it back? And it's because, folks, we really need to be, to try to remember this. There are many, many people in this world that have never, I mean, no, not ever, had clean food or clean water. They lived their entire life without ever having clean food and clean water. And here, there's been times, and I remember, when especially in the service and that, when there were times when I didn't have any food. We might have to go for a couple of days, you know, without eating. And, you know, when you're used to eating every day, getting something every day, you remember what it was like not to have food. But, and that's where we're going to go to next here as we finish tonight over in Philippians. And chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, boy, I wish we could get this through to our politicians and those in the media, the fake news media out there. Well, you know what? Actually, where it's needed the most is in the pulpits of what's supposed to be Christian churches across this country. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And again, the Apostle Paul here, he uses himself as an example because he, as he will say, I have run a good race, and this is what we like to say. And at the end of the day, we all should be able to say, I've given it my very best today. I can honestly say today, I've run a good race. I fought a good fight. I haven't compromised. I've given my very best to the Lord today. He said, these things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therefore to be content. This is very important. It's a very, very important. You know, folks, you'd be so much happier if you spent a lot less time wanting things. You know, some people obsessing on things that you shouldn't obsess upon. As he says here, you know, take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in prayer, okay? And then leave it with him. And if it's meant for you, you'll receive it, folks. But here, he says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know where and in all things abound everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and both to suffer need. So he's talking about living both humbly and living with prosperity, okay? Just accept, and that's what Job did. You know, that was, Job, you know, believed that. And so here, and the Lord blessed him with such abundance. He says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. That's my favorite Bible verse here. One of my favorite Bible verses, I should say, is I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my afflictions. In other words, he was saying those that came and they shared in with his afflictions brought them what they could to make life tolerable for the Apostle Paul. He goes on, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, the church communicated with me concerning giving and received, but you and the church, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only." And so he was talking there at the church of Macedonia, where they were the only ones that came to his aid when he needed it. "For even at Thessalonica, you said once again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." And so we're coming up on the clock. We're out of time tonight. But there you go. That was a message upon the sin that so many people today ignore. They absolutely, well, and I asked the folks in the church out there, I don't remember when I preached on gluttony in the past, and we have some people who have been in the church for 40 years, and one of them said, you know, I've been here all these years, and I don't remember ever hearing you preach a message on that. But it was preached. It needs to be now and then. That message needs to be preached out there. So I know we're coming up upon the clock. We're out of time. I want to thank all of you out there for being here tonight. Remember, the one thing that matters more than anything out there, and that is your standing with the Lord Jesus. Never forget that this very night, your soul may be required of you. This very night. Are you ready? If you're called tonight, are you ready? If you're called tonight, will you end up in glory, or will you end up in torment? And that is the question that you should all of you out there should be thinking about. The Lord Jesus, he gave you a get out of hell card free. All you have to do is repent of your sin. Repent of your sin, call upon his name, and you can get to glory, but you got to mean it. You got to really trust in the name of the Lord Jesus, knowing he can do and will do all that he has said. Well, we're out of time. I want to thank all of you for being here tonight, saying good night. God bless. And then I want to say, and always, 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 keep fighting the fight. 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 Fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
It's all here. The surf, the smiles, the sand, and that sweet, sweet sunshine. Everything you've been missing is at North Carolina's uncrowded coast. Visit crystalcoastnc.com/booking now.